And okay, I'm good to go. Chatting with Drummer 828 today about a number of topics. I'm assuming one of them is going to be Ethan Ralph.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you can't talk about any of this without bringing that up.
Well, you said you wanted to talk to me, so I'm just kind of curious. I kind of figured it'd be about that.
Well, yeah, it's definitely revolving around that. The main question I have for you, because I keep hearing this, you know, I've been seeing, like I was saying earlier, I've been seeing a lot of you around more than recently. Mm-hmm. All the way to the point of hearing the claim that Mundane Matt has been redeemed. Do you believe that?
I don't care, to be honest with you. I don't give one iota of a shit about that. I buried that name in my backyard in a shallow grave. I don't fucking care. People keep saying it. I get that it's a meme.
Well,
it's
more
of a joke. I said it as a joke, but I don't give a shit, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's
not. That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, how does Ralph setting himself on fire somehow change what happened to you in the past?
Oh, nothing changes what happened in the past. That's the thing. You can never go backwards. You can always go forward. That's about it. So acknowledging the past is one thing. Not doing it again is another. Learning from your mistakes is the key factor. But you can never change what's already happened. We don't have the ability for time travel. And a lot of people like to hold on to the past, and they like to think that it's some kind of magical beast you can go back and tame, when you can't. So there's no point of holding on to it like it's some kind of lost treasure. You're never going to get it back.
Well, I mean, let's be fair, Matt. It was a little bit of a treasure for the internet. That was an experience to see happen. I've never seen anybody come on at the beginning of a show and swear to God that they had never done anything, only to be proven to do it.
Well,
then take a knee and call themselves a soy-filled bitch.
Well, you know what? It was not my finest moment, to say the very least. But at the same time, you know, some people had fun with it 100%. I can't really argue.
I definitely did.
Oh, I know you did. You went out, you bought a t-shirt. You posed.
You're
with
damn
it.
Right, I did, man.
Yeah. So I mean, at this point, we can kind of go back and look at it. You were one of the first gunt guards, one of the first Ralph Simps. I mean, you've given him
gunt guards. All right,
yeah,
hold
man.
Up. Now.
No, you went to Knoxville. You went to Knoxville, Drummer. You were out there. You were on you know, display with
and
him.
And I had a blast out there.
Sure
we had a lot
did.
Of fun.
Oh, I'm
and
sure
it seems like you were watching every move that we were doing. Which
nah.
I found to be a little odd.
Actually,
you're
I really
sitting in a room getting really upset about some people that laughed at you.
No, not at all, man. I actually was
then
laughing
how did you,
at the
How
fact.
Did you know I was in Knoxville?
Because
how'd you
people,
know what shirt I was wearing?
Because people sent
on a
images.
Random day that wasn't even that important. Oh, someone sent it to you?
Yeah, I get
heard
sent
that
a lot
before,
of
Matt.
Stuff. I get sent a lot of stuff.
Somebody just sent it to me. No, I don't even know. I wasn't
but it
paying
doesn't
attention.
Change, well, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that you still, upon going to Knoxville, wore the shirt in order to impress Ethan. And now Ethan has shown you.
You know my motivation.
To me.
It wasn't because that was an amazing moment. I enjoyed having a shirt
Tonka,
to make fun of you.
Sure. Yeah. I don't care if you bought the shirt, but it's funny for the motivations behind it. I just want to
ask you. You know my motivations, huh?
Well, I'd love
That's
to ask you.
That's amazing.
Well, hold on. Answer me a quick question.
We got psychic Mundane Matt. He's not just a false flagger.
Yeah, I'm a very observational person, and so I'm kind of curious.
Well, I guess you observed plenty of people making fun of you that you had to flag them, huh?
I only reported 13 videos, so you know what? I mean, in the grand, I think you made more than that about me, so there's that.
What? I made more than what?
More than 13 videos about me.
I think I made about 8. I think I made about 8.
I don't even really know, but it doesn't even
matter. Yeah, so you don't know what you're going to run your mouth about it, huh?
Well, you seem to
kind of like you think you know my motivations.
Well, dude, it's very easy to know your motivations when you
not
in this circle. Yeah, it is, actually.
Who was the first one to call out Ralph and all this shit like over a year ago?
But you called him out. You called him out.
I called him out.
And then he
the second I saw a problem.
And then now you're hitting me up wanting to talk to me because of this whole Ralph thing. So
no, the reason I
no,
don't get it twisted.
I'm not getting it twisted.
I'm laying
out the
facts as
we see them.
This is the chance. This is the chance
as we see him here, Drummer.
You're
talking to me.
You're
going to
just continue
me. You were hitting
just
me. You were pushing
other.
Me. Hey. All I'm saying is I want you to acknowledge the timeline of events this morning. That's all I want. You contacted me. You wanted
I contact,
to stream. You wanted
you,
to
do
talk.
Do you think you know my motivations and you're just going to continue to talk? Or are you going to allow me to respond
no, I
to
am simply,
one of the myriad of things you just said?
I'm simply laying out a timeline of events.
That's very special. Thank you for doing that, Matt. We're all very pleased to hear that.
Well,
the only reason I've given you a chance to talk to me is because I've been one of the people that have made fun.
Given me a chance. Do you really
are you going to continue to talk? Are you going to continue to talk every time I try to make a point? Are you secure enough in your side of the argument that you can allow me to get a single point out without you talking?
I'm sorry. Allow me to bow to the mighty drummer 828, ladies and gentlemen, who gave me the opportunity. Bitch. Jesus Christ, dude, get the fuck over yourself.
Bow down, Matt.
You were
shut
fucking,
the fuck up, and I'm going to talk now. Are you ready?
DM's going like, I don't like to wait, Matt. Like a fucking.
You're right. I don't like to wait, Matt.
So like, I owe you something? Come on, dude. I'm giving you my time for free. This shit's fucking funny. Don't act like
you're
a bitch.
Doing me a favor.
I am doing you a favor. I'm absolutely doing something. You a favor. Let me explain something to you. I'm giving for you 2 content. Seconds. Is what I'm doing. I'm giving you content.
Matt, so you've done nothing but talk. This entire time.
I'm really good at it. I'm great at it. So why don't you actually get to the fucking point you want to make rather than fucking try to apostrophize here in front of your audience, all right? Actually fucking say what you want to say. Don't say, I'm granting you the time. Fucking drop that nonsense and have a conversation. Let's have it.
Are you done, Matt? Did you get it all out?
Let's go.
Okay, now it's my turn. The only reason I wanted to talk to you is to give you the fucking chance that Worski and Ralph won't. Because I was just the same as all of the other people that sat there and shit on you and fucking had a great time laughing at your fucking downfall back in the day. Because I think you got everything you fucking deserved. And I honestly, you deserve a chance to speak for yourself. So I was going to give you that opportunity. But you've come up on here and you've definitely shown your fucking ass in front of me.
Because you came at me in DMs with this fucking nonsense. Like, I don't like the weights. So you already had a chip on your shoulder going into this shit. There was nothing about
think,
this.
Do you
that
think I should take a knee to you, Matt? Do you think you've done anything that
do
would,
I think you should,
that
no,
would
I
grant me
care.
Taking a knee to you?
Why would I care if you take a knee to me, dude? I don't give a shit about
well,
you.
You're here.
You clearly care about
me. You're
you
fucking
hit
here.
Me up. You hit me up and asked me to come on and talk to you. And I said, I'll fire up a stream. You said you're going to do the same thing. You came
I
to
said,
me.
I'm not afraid
no
to talk
mistake.
To you, Matt.
Make no
they
mistake.
They may be afraid to talk to you, but
they
I
are
ain't afraid to talk to you.
I don't care if you're afraid or not afraid. You still came to me. Owned that shit. You came to me. You hit me up in DMs. You hit me up on Twitter. You came to me. Make no mistake. That's where we're here. That's why we're here.
So because I'm the one that made the first comment that said, you know what? I'm not afraid to talk to you.
Well, we have really nothing now, to discuss.
Now
so
that's
you obviously
me,
wanted
that's me
to have
being
a conversation.
To you.
I'm not saying you're being subservient. I'm simply laying out the facts, dude. Come on.
That's fucking right. Don't ever get it fucking twisted, Matt. You know what the facts are? You were caught flagging. You were caught false flagging.
Yeah, I did. And
you
what's your
stood
point?
Up in
it's
front of thousands
years.
Of people.
Yep, it's
and
been
you
2 years. What's your point?
Swore to
on.
God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, move on? I should let it go, huh?
Well,
sounds like you haven't let it go, Matt.
I'm.
Why are you going after Worski and Ralph now?
Because it's fucking funny. That's why.
Well, it is funny. I won't take that away from you there. It is funny.
It is funny.
But it does. It definitely sounds like you haven't gotten over it yourself.
It's not even about that, because I have, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be doing this if I hadn't gotten over it. I wouldn't be even remotely trying to make fun of this shit if I haven't gotten the fuck over it. The key thing here is, when you look at the people that are involved in this situation, or even look at the facts of my side of the story, which you interviewed an old guy I went to school with who lied his fucking ass off multiple times. So that to me, just,
oh, you mean,
that's
you mean that
funny.
Guy you were like, oh, he's a piece of shit and all
he
that.
He's a piece
and,
of shit,
and,
yeah.
And he lied about his injuries, apparently, but he got injured is... He went to basic training and broke his back or something like that.
Yeah, and then he milked it for all that it was worth, which is
oh,
one of the
he's
reasons
milking
why.
It. Have you ever done anything half as honorable as, you know, trying to join the military or
do you
any kind of public service or anything?
Let me ask you this though, man. Let me ask you this.
No, you're just
there's
deflecting
a person,
the question.
No,
have you ever done anything half
have
as noble
I done,
as that
have, did? Have I gone to join the military? No, I haven't gone to join the military.
No, nope.
I never did.
You done anything worth a damn other than try to, like, you know, save yourself?
I've been a security guard at a casino. That might not be the same thing.
Salute you, Matt.
Well, there we go. That's my honorable, honorable protecting of the people's money. That's how it works out. But see, here's the thing that you don't know.
Thank
about,
you for your service.
About
thank
Mike.
You, thank you
is
for
I
your
was,
service.
I was friends with this guy for years, so I know why he joined the military. It wasn't noble. It was money. That's why he joined the military. And when he hurt himself, he was able to then use it to get free
you
money.
You don't think
for a
there's another
time.
Way to get money than joining the military?
You don't know Mike. I do.
Well,
I know him.
What do
I
you
know him
about
for
him?
Years. I know, dude, I met him in 2005.
He had some stuff to say about you.
Oh, I'm sure he
seemed
did.
To line,
but here's
it seemed
the thing.
To line up quite well with
fucking,
what we learned about you after the flagging. What
no,
he said about you is that you went around and you talked a bunch of shit about people, and the second they confronted you about it, you pulled the whole, it wasn't me. I didn't say that.
No.
Which what, sounds
the,
just like
the,
your
no,
whole
that, that specific
situation
incident that he's referring to is that there was a friend of his. There was a mutual friend that was more of one of his friends who was mad at him for the way he treated him. And we were talking about it and that got back to him. And that's all it was. That's all it fucking was. But Mike is the kind of guy.
So you were talking shit about him. And then when he confronted you, you didn't deny it?
Because Mike was out there. Like, he was talking about, this other guy was talking about Mike's wife. And about the whole situation with that. Again, dude, this is like 2007 shit, dude. It's not even fucking pertinent. The whole point is, you talk to one guy who knows me. I had other friends of ours who went to school with listen to that shit, and we all laughed our fucking asses off because it was nonsense and we all knew it. We are the people who know him. You don't know him. You don't fucking know me.
So he had a pretty good story to tell. I felt like sharing.
He has a lot of stories to tell. Yeah.
I get it. So he lied.
He's definitely one of those type of guys who's an embellisher. Like, he embellishes depending on the crowd.
The same thing about you. Except amazing.
I'm sure he fucking did.
Are you an embellisher, Matt? Are you an embellisher?
I'm more of a down player. I usually downplay situations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, more than
like
I'm
downplaying, flagging and stuff.
Because if you want to actually go back to that specific line of questioning by Medeker on that specific night, what he asked me was, did I flag down Godwinson and did I flag down Dame Pesos? Now, the videos
and
in question.
You flagged down Dame Pesos. Absolutely.
I flagged Dame Pesos' later videos, but not the one in question. So I actually
Now you're splitting hairs, man.
I'm not splitting hairs because that was a direct question.
People say I flagged Dame Pesos, but it's someone else. It wasn't me. I swear to God.
I did report him later on. I'm admitting to that. I did admit to that. The whole point of that situation was those questions. Now, this is where you're being dishonest.
I'm not being dishonest.
Oh, you're absolutely being dishonest.
You're the one that got caught lying red-handed in front of thousands of people.
Go back and listen to the audio.
I've clipped this shit and shown it recently.
I'm sure you fucking have, but you're still not listening to what was being said. You're listening to what you want to hear based on narratives.
He said, did you flag Dame Pesos? And you did.
I did not flag down Dame Pesos. None of the videos I reported went down.
Do you pay attention to how words work and how things operate? You haven't changed a bit, man. I don't think you learned anything.
No, because the thing is, there was such a narrative built around me that most people don't know my side of the fucking story, because people like you like to propagate lies and nonsense because you're a simp for Ethan Ralph. And now that you're no longer
a simp for Ethan Ralph.
Yes, you absolutely are.
Do you not understand? Over a year ago, your boyfriend, he's my friend. You don't get to stop me while I'm in the middle of my point, Matt. I'm talking right now because I'm making a point. Okay. And you're not going to stop me. Do you understand that?
That's fine. You can talk.
The mic is mine.
Ooh. Okay. Mr. Hardcore Drummer, make your fucking point.
Are you ready, Matt?
Yes.
You called me a simp.
I did call
for
you
Ethan Ralph.
You bought his
the
t-shirt.
Second.
You're a simp.
You're going to continue to fucking talk over me?
I'm not talking over you. I'm responding to your point.
Making fun of
that's,
you.
Yeah,
was
and that's,
an
that's
embarrassing
still giving
thing.
Him money. And that's you wore that to go meet him for the first time. You wore that shirt to go meet him for the first time. That is a simp move. Yes, you did. You wore that in Knoxville.
You want to know when I wore that shirt?
You wore it in Knoxville. There's a photo of you guys in the car together.
After the fight was over. And everything was done.
And you still
and you were obviously
when you met him
watching
for the first time.
Very fucking
no,
strange.
I saw a fucking picture.
It was a shirt
dude.
Making fun of you, Matt. That's why I bought it.
Yeah, but you still wore it.
It really
to
seems
you wanted
to chap
to impress
your
him. No, you wanted to impress him, which is why you're so butthurt about him blocking that you're talking to me. This is
dude,
the
you understand
thing about
back
this
in 2018, I called Ethan Ralph out. And predicted everything that's happening right now. I called it all out and predicted it.
I did hear about that. You got on your motorcycle and made this emotional plea. You made this
emotional plea. So to call me a simp for Ethan Ralph when I'm the one that called him out, predicted everything, and then now all of my predictions are coming true, and I'm documenting everything. The fact that you want to call me a simp is your fucking spin. It's your bullshit, and it's another lie from Mundane Matt.
No,
congratulations, Matt. The legend continues.
You ever given him super chats?
Nope.
Well, you definitely gave him money for a shirt, so that's still part of the whole thing. I'm just trying to ask
you
how much
okay. It's back to the shirt again, right? I bought a shirt making fun of you.
Yeah,
if I could have bought another shirt from someone else making fun of you, I would have bought that in a heartbeat.
And then you would have been a simp.
And I know,
person.
I guess spending money for you is like a big deal, too.
I love
and, you
that.
Know, for
man.
Me,
I
it's a matter of a t-shirt.
I
saw a t-shirt making fun of
you
when I bought it.
It's so funny that you're so defensive. It's a t-shirt. Just own
defensive. You're the one that brings it up.
You're the one that's defending it. Oh, it's just a t-shirt. It's just a t-shirt.
What do you want me to do? Concede your point? Oh my God, Matt, you're right. Yeah. I bought a shirt.
Well, no, because
let's hold on.
But drummer, let's come on, man. Let's be fair. Let's be real here.
Let's be fair now.
No, I'm not going to retract it, but let's go back. We need to actually analyze the situation as a whole.
Analyze my dick. You ain't nothing but a fucking shyster.
Whip the
and you're running
out,
around
okay?
taking
that's,
a
that's
victory
where you're at
lap
right now? That's
when
where
you
you're
didn't
at
do anything.
On, you're,
you had nothing to do
Jesus
with where
Christ.
Ethan Ralph is right now,
really?
Or Andy Worski. You had nothing to do with it.
So
you sat on the sidelines and fucking cheered, and you've taken a victory lap, Matt. And you know what? You took your licks for so long that you actually gained a shred of respect from me. I was like, you know what?
I don't care about you, drummer. I don't think about you. I don't know you. I don't give a shit about you.
Good.
I know you've obsessed
you
over my
care.
Ass for a long
I'm
time.
I'm glad you don't care. You don't
and
care so much
fact,
you came on here to talk to me, huh?
No, I came on here to laugh at you for being an Ethan Ralph simp and a gunk guard and a person so butthurt that you're talking to me about
God,
him.
I've never even talked to you, Matt. The only reason
exactly.
I wanted
you've
to talk
never
to you
talked to me.
Is because
you've never
no
talked
one,
to me. So you've never gotten
no one
my
else
side of the story.
Your platform.
Everybody
else,
I can get platforms left and right.
And Andy Worski and all the other
really?
People that made fun of you will give you a platform. I'm at least man enough to talk to you face to face.
So you are. That's true. Ethan will prank call me and then fucking put it out there. Andy will prank call me.
I don't like that.
Fucking
I don't like
cry
the prank calling shit.
So
listen to me. I don't like that prank calling shit. I don't like the doxing shit. Fucking whatever the fuck they did to you on top of just jokes is bullshit. And I think that shit was wrong. And I didn't participate in any of that. And Like I said, you gained a shred of respect from me for taking your fucking licks. And I even think in certain cases, especially with the doxing and the fucking prank phone calls and shit, that it went overboard. I don't think you fucking deserved any of that. But it's what's gotten under my skin recently is, okay, I'll give you a victory lap. Even though you didn't do anything, even though that's not your victory to claim,
I'm not claiming a victory lap.
Is only one time around, but I keep seeing your ass going in loops and loops, and
so
all you're doing
you,
is
you
running circles
me?
At this point.
Why are you watching me then?
It's kind of hard to fucking not see
how
Matt Jarbo
it's
in all the posts.
Very easy. You mute me on Twitter. You mute my name. You don't watch my channel.
Oh, you see, I can't. There's so many ways for you.
You recently subscribed to my $3 theater channel. I saw that in the sidebar. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, oh, personally.
Oh,
yeah.
I did actually.
And you checked out that channel. Yeah.
You started.
Yeah. So you clearly want to know what I'm saying. You clearly want to know what I'm about.
I keep tabs on you.
Yeah. So that's you paying attention to me. I don't pay attention to you. See, this is the key difference here.
Well,
is again,
yeah, should,
I'm
should,
taking a victory.
You should probably
lap,
stick to that theory when you're talking about what clothes I'm wearing and when I'm doing it.
Well,
and my
dude,
fucking
all
motivation.
I'm doing is pulling out.
You're claiming you don't care, but you seem to know a lot about my fucking inner workings of my mind, Matt Jarbo.
I pay attention to a lot of shit, and here's the thing, dude. I'm not dumb. It's not hard to figure out people's motivations.
I don't know about that.
Well, I've made mistakes.
You
don't want to
tell your report history after flagging.
I did,
everybody.
And guess what? My report history hasn't changed in 2 fucking years. Not one goddamn iota.
You will say it again?
My report history has not changed in 2 years.
Oh, I bet it hasn't, man. I really hope you learned your lesson there.
So no, because that's the thing is like I got fucking mad at idiots and I acted stupidly. That's been known and I've owned up to that shit. The key difference, though, between me and, let's say, Ethan Ralph is that like I went out. I got fucking therapy. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in over a year. I'm on antidepressants for my anxiety and I've been evening myself the fuck out and working to better my life and my fucking family. That's the difference between
me
and Ralph. Now, what's going on right now is the fact that this dude. Again, if you go back and you look at it, Ethan and I have this very odd kind of relationship because that's how we met Faith, is because Faith saw that Killstream episode and she talked to him that way. So as always, somehow I'm tied into Ethan and they keep bringing me the fuck up. So you know what? You know what? This is the thing. They keep bringing me up. I opted to keep my fucking self to the sidelines, work on my own shit. But after 2 years of this nonsense, fuck that noise. You come at me, I'm going to come back at you twice as fucking hard. There's way more dirt on them than there is on me, and I don't give a shit. This isn't about
there
a redemption arc. This isn't about trying to fucking get back what I lost. I don't fucking care. I will burn it all to the goddamn ground. I don't give a shit. I don't fucking care.
Hey, look, I like that. That mentality, I can sympathize with.
But
man.
I'm not going to sit there and fucking take lies from fucking people, and I'm going to push back on shit. And that's including you for the shit you've said about me. So
you never what did I say about you? That was
you
a lie.
Fucking you reiterated all that goddamn nonsense. You
I reiterated
fucking
what
stream. All right, you
I reiterated what
hairs over fucking what was said or what was shown or whatever. Dude,
you're splitting the hairs.
I'm giving facts. I'm providing facts. There's a difference
facts
there.
Like what?
Facts like the fact of the questions that were asked and my responses that were given. Did I report?
You said you
people?
Didn't flag anybody. I swear
I
to
said
God,
didn't flag that's anybody down. Anybody down? No videos went down. Dumbass, listen to what I'm saying. There's differences in the reporting. Uh-uh. Yes,
I'm not about to eat that bowl of shit you're
eat
serving
the bullshit
me right now,
because
man.
Because you're fucking. Because you know. Because I'm right, and that's the truth.
Yeah, because you're full of shit, man.
No, I'm
you're
not full of
about,
shit.
You're telling me I'm splitting hairs. You're the one that's like the word down. It was the word down. You know exactly what you went into that fucking show doing.
I know.
That you went in there to claim that you fucking didn't do shit, and
well,
you did.
I never
man.
Touched Ralph's stream.
You did.
That's been proven.
If you didn't do anything, what did you apologize for?
I apologized for, in that moment, the shit that I had done, but not the shit that I didn't do. And I'll tell you, no, and I'll tell
so,
you this. I'll tell
you
this.
Go.
I will acknowledge.
You did something then, right? There,
well, yeah, but not what I was originally accused of.
Oh, shut
and
up.
That's,
man.
No, that's the difference here. You want to talk about actual you things that I've done versus
stop.
Things that I haven't done? No.
Look, but, man, you could fucking actually have a redemption if you would just fucking own your bullshit. Man.
I owned my shit, asshole. I'm just not going to sit there and fucking take claims for shit I didn't fucking do. There's a difference there. No,
you're
there's
not,
a fucking
not,
difference
I'm
there.
I'm not buying what you're selling.
I don't
that.
Care. I lived it. I fucking know it.
I'm not buying what you're selling, man.
All right, well, why don't you jump
you know
on
what
your
I
bike
think?
And make a video talking about it again
now,
or some shit like
now
that.
Now you're going to talk. Bring, let's talk about my bike some more, man. My bike's pretty fucking cool. I like it.
That's cool, man. I don't fucking care where you how you make your goddamn content. All I'm saying is, in my side of things, I don't really pay that much attention. Shit gets shown to me quite often, but I don't dive into it
somebody
and fucking obsess
it
over
me.
It. Yeah, because people have been paying the fuck somebody attention, and they send me stuff.
I hear that quite often.
Well, that's the truth of it. I have two kids. I have a house. I have jobs. I do shit. People send me stuff when they find it funny.
Now, let me ask you this, man. In an honest question, what do you think... Why do you think Ralph and Worski, why do you think they won't talk to you now?
Because I will fucking call them on every goddamn thing that they've done. Every goddamn thing that they've done.
I mean, I think it's bullshit. I think if you're going to run somebody through the dirt, you should at least face them.
Sure. No, that's fine. I agree with you on that one. The problem with it is, though, is that Worski is such a fucking little bitch. And I say that to his truest intent, that like we were DMing the other night and I'm like, dude, have me on your show. Like, you're going to fucking call me. You're going to fucking call me. You're going to have Kyler fucking fake being this investigative journalist. Have me on your show. Let's fucking talk about this. He blocks me immediately. Then he fucking plays Flight Simulator and he flies it into my fucking house. And I give him shit for that. Because it's the stupidest thing on the fucking planet.
So, that's bullshit. That's so got to be the most creative way to dox somebody.
It's like, so stupid. I was like, I didn't even know about it until literally I was sent the fucking screenshot the next night. So I roasted him over it. Then he unblocked me in order to respond to it. I DM'd him again and said, why don't we fucking go on your show and talk about this? Or why don't you come on my show and talk about this? And then he blocked me again and went on this crazy fucking rant with Kyler for 4.5 minutes. Or they're trying to label me a pedo and all this shit.
Fan is Kyler, dude.
Yeah, he's a fucking moron.
Where the fuck
moron.
Did he come from? Where
I don't
did he
know.
Come from?
Is there an origin of cancer? Like, that's how I kind of view that. I mean, the dude literally looks like he does drive around with a van that says free candy on the side. He really does look like the kind of guy you would see in a horror movie that like, oh yeah, that dude's the rapist. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he looks like. And he's got no personality. He's got no game. And he just vapes constantly into his fucking microphone. And I'm sorry. Look, man, you got to agree with me on this one. What the fuck is up with 480p? Have you noticed that on their shitty ass stream? They can't go better than 480p.
I don't know why.
Really that bothers me. But... That bothers me. As a person who does YouTube and like deals in high definition, for some reason that does get under my skin. Like, come on. Have some fucking respect, Andy. Put on a little bit of makeup. Cover up the fucking coke acne that you've got on your fucking forehead. Shave off that goddamn stupid man bun because you're not goddamn fucking Red Bar. And stop barking like a circus seal. This is the stupidest shit I've ever fucking seen. It is. It really is. Like, I don't like your content, but you at least put out more thoughtful content than they do.
Andy well, thank
would,
you.
Andy would most likely suck 1,000 dicks in a row if it got him just a smidgen of lino that he could use to buy his house in Portugal. He would have no problem just slurping it down like a fucking drink. Like, that's the kind of shit that comes out of those guys. Ralph, he's a fucking busted-ass alcoholic, dating an 18-year-old that he released revenge porn on, who now has that over his fucking head. That's
let me,
the best part
ask,
about this.
Let me ask you about that. Have you seen, what's his name, Mr. Vickers' website yet?
Oh, yeah, I covered it last night.
Rad Roberts.
Yeah, I covered it. I know. I'm an e-celeb. I'm very well known online. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Did you say this while you were in jail? Oh, my God. What are you doing, Ralph? What are you doing? Because that's what he does. Yeah. Like, that is the ego. That is such the narcissistic ego. And I know what it's like to have an ego and fucking break that shit. But it's so funny when he actually wrote this as a fucking correspondence. Like, I'm very well known online. Holy shit. Now you're known for having a small dick and revenge porn. Like, there's no coming back from this for Ethan. I don't think even you, as a former friend, could even see a redemption in this particular situation.
It's going to be hard. I don't know. It's just once you pass a certain level, and you're finding yourself needing to prove shit to your enemies constantly, I think you're stuck in a downward spiral at that point. It's not a good place to be.
It's not. I mean, a couple of years, everyone was telling me a couple of years ago, you should quit. And I'm all like, nah, I'll step back for a bit and I'll work on other stuff. And then, like, I was doing other shit at the same time. The key is to find something to do outside of YouTube. But Ralph's got nothing else going on. Convicted felon. He's got such a name that's run into the mud. I mean, association with white nationalism, with Richard Spencer, Milo Yiannopoulos. I mean, Mark Collette is a frequent guest on the show. I mean, that's only going to blow up in his fucking face. And now he's trying to become this, what, middle of the ground road commentator, because that's what Dick Masterson does. It's not going
to
work.
Yeah, I think he was trying to expand his audience. He started bringing in a lot of different people, and you're right, playing middle of the road kind of shit. But that's not a strength, and I don't see it going that way. I don't know what he's going to do, but it doesn't look good. I'll say that.
No.
The thing is, Ralph has nowhere else to go, though. He's a convicted felon with no work experience. He's got nothing else. I don't see him leaving. He's not going to go anywhere.
I don't see him leaving, but I see him eventually doing what he does, which is self-destruct. And he's gone off of YouTube. He helped take down StreamMe. I mean, to the point of where they nuked that entire platform because of Ralph, ultimately. Now he's on DLive. They won't talk shit about China because DLive is owned by China. So even though, like, I happened to catch a bit of it, what Phantom Organization was restreaming Ralph last night, I tuned in for a minute while I was doing deliveries, and they're talking about the Steve Bannon thing, and they won't mention China at all, which is the boat that fucking Bannon was found on. It's a Chinese boat. So it's like they won't mention it. They're afraid to talk about China.
Yeah, DLive is Chinese.
Exactly. So it's like they're getting themselves backed into an ideological corner. They're not going to be able to talk about certain things as these things are happening. And all he's going to do is sit back and he's going to fucking pour whatever booze he's got in that Coke can, make you think it's Coca-Cola when it's really booze, and drink
a little sip.
And you can totally tell him, like, I saw someone go, yo, he's really drinking soda. I'm like, no, you don't sit there and take little sips of a time out of a soda can. You know, no, that's not what you do. This is where he is. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest, as much as I hate the guy, and I fucking hate him, and I have good reason to hate him, I feel bad for him. Because there's such an emotionally broken person that has never had a solid male role model in his life. And every time he gets close to one, they fuck him over. Or he fucks up and they leave.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's his fault for fucking it up. But, I don't know, if you read the, what is it, abortheretort.com, the whole story. It's a chronicle by Matt Vickers? Is that
Matt,
his name?
Matt? Matt Vickers. Yeah. He's
Matt Vickers. It's Faith's dad. And he just breaks down everything that's been going on behind the scenes from his perspective and then the things that he's experienced. And it's fucking crazy. And I said this a couple days ago. I started this thinking that Faith chick was probably the victim. But I think now at this point, I think she's holding Ralph hostage.
I think so too.
I think she's got dangerous dirt on his ass when it comes to that whole revenge porn possibility. And he's done, you know, he's got to hold on to her now. Because if he lets her go, he's fucked.
Man. I mean, no, it's very true. It's not even if he really lets her go. Because I think at some point, it's going to kind of naturally come to its own conclusion.
Well, yeah, she's going to cheat on him.
She's going to cheat. Yeah, she already was. And then he was out there saying, like, oh, I don't want her back. You know, according to the dad, like, he's trying to break up with her to urge her to go back home. But she's calling him relentlessly every opportunity. She's calling him and calling him. This is after the revenge porn came out. So, you know, like, I think she realizes that she's got him because she's a person that seeks that kind of control. There's been rumors. I don't know how true they are, that she's got some kind of humiliation fetish, that she likes to have the boyfriends be humiliated. I mean, in Chris, a halfway crook, he's kind of like that. You know, he still wants her. He still wanted her after she went to Virginia and she was clearly living with Ralph. He couldn't believe that this was happening. And because she was lying to him the whole time. So she manipulates men who have, you know, teenage mentalities, which, let's be fair, Ralph does. And it's, you know, but and the other side of it, too, is Ralph equates sex with love. So if they're together physically, then there's that. Well, didn't he? And I heard this today because someone told me this today, that when he was in Knoxville, he got a hooker. Or maybe it was Miami.
That came from a Geek spilling the beans on Worski.
Okay. Oh, Geek said that. Okay. Okay. I mean, I guess the source on that is kind of was so Worski got the hooker or Ralph got the hooker?
No. It was Ralph.
And she kissed him on the mouth.
All the info on that when Worski just kind of ditched Geek and went over to hang out with the Killstream.
Yeah.
And Geek was like, yo, what the fuck? I've been waiting on you like to come back. You come back. I was here for you. I did everything I could to help you. The second Ralph, you know, calls you up, you just ditch me. And that's when I was like, all right, motherfucker, I got to talk about this.
Well, I find that really
I'm not even buddies with Geek. Like, but I know how much fucking Geek did for Andy and for Andy to just leave him in the dust. I was like, dude, that's fucked.
Well, that's exactly Ralph? What's going to happen with this situation. I mean, as soon as Andy can find a way to make the subcultured or the twisted mind of Andy Worski somewhat sustainable without the kill stream. And they are making good money on there. Like, there's no denying it. They are making good money.
Do you think there's a weird thing going on about where this money's coming from?
Oh, yeah. I've said this for a long time. My theory, and this is just my theory, is that in 2018, when the Worski Live was hosting all the right-wing shows, and there was money and money and money and money coming in, like more money than you would expect to come in these situations. My theory was that at the time you had alt-right people that were trying to bring alt-righters into the mainstream. And they were using these right-wing shows on YouTube through super chats to enforce that narrative. Because, you know, let's be fair, you and I are both YouTubers. If a super chat comes in, we're thankful for it. And we also talk about what they say. And it's not hard to dictate the conversation if you are putting money into the conversation to keep people on the subject you want them to talk about. Then psychologically, the YouTuber will then go, well, that worked for me. I made all this fucking money. That's the direction I got to go. And then they'll find a way to bring more of those people on and further push that into the mainstream. So I think there was a lot of money laundering that was happening. I have no proof of any of it. It's just the theory that I've been working on.
I don't know. It seems strange.
Yeah. Well, even on DLive, it's like all this money comes in. You know, Ralph made $500 to shave his head the other night.
The fuck?
Isn't that just weird? Yeah, they bullied him. Gator and Bibble, I think, bullied him into shaving his head. And then he's like, oh, I'll do it if I get like a Ninjini or Ninjet, whatever the bigger one is. And then like three of those came in within a few minutes. And then more lemons and more Ninjets or Ninjinis, whatever. And he got it for like about $500 and then he shaved his head. So it's like,
nah, I don't know. There's some
weird shit going on there. And I think that whoever's sponsoring him, and I do think he's got a bit of a background sponsor, I think it is tied to the right, which is why he's not going to be able to get away. You know, we see this. I mean, we know that there's a lot of money spent on advertising in politics. But now when you look at the fact that social media has such the reach that it does, and we know that more people get their information through social media and more people are watching YouTube or listening to podcasts because it's direct contact with that person. Putting money in is going to be a really easy way to get that person to sponsor that content and therefore put it out to their audience in a way that comes across as acceptable and very endearing, you know, because this person that they trust is talking about it. Therefore, they subconsciously trust it more.
Okay. Well, I don't know about all that. I mean,
it's a theory. I got no evidence of it. I look at it and I know YouTube as a platform very well. I've gone to multiple trainings. I've talked to multiple engineers. And asking questions about what's going on in the platform. And the platform is completely fucked, 100%. It's all compartmentalized. No one knows what either hand is doing. They're trying to make it work, but it's clearly not. But then you look at like how they push the money and how YouTube makes it very easy to get outside money coming in, because all you need is a credit card and you can easily go get one of those from the store and just load it up with money from some bank account somewhere. And it wouldn't be hard to financially put money in to run money through, and YouTube takes their 30% cut and they don't give a fuck where the money comes from.
Yeah, it's a theory. I don't know how, I don't know. I can't run with anything that I, on that level, I just don't know enough about it, but
yeah, no, it's true. It's
weird. It seems like there's too much money running through it. It's yeah. not that, I don't know. I just don't see that being a legitimate amount of cash to there's, be flowing through.
Well, there's also like other avenues of cash as well, right? So you have like, it's not just Super Chats, although those are a big factor. You've got like the different tipping companies like Streamlabs, or I don't know what else anyone else uses. You've got like Subscribestar, you've got Patreon, which is not hard to launder money through Patreon because they use PayPal, and that's very easy to do. You've got, you know, all these different avenues of funneling money in. And the only money that we know is like public is what people showcase, either through Super Chats or through the Lemons on DLive or Patreon. But we don't know what comes in through direct donations. We don't know what comes in through merchandise sales or any of the other avenues. So especially podcasting is a big one, because podcasting, and Ethan talked about this a while ago. I saw this post from him and he goes, oh, the Killstream got like 77,000 listens this month. And he was really happy about that. But if he's got advertisements on there, through whatever company, I don't know if he does or doesn't, like that is a lot of people to directly market to. And there's so much fucking money in podcasting. They put more advertising money in podcasting than anything else right now because of that direct connection.
I'm getting bored to sleep here. I don't know.
This is what I do. This is what I do.
Huh? What?
I pay attention. I read. This is what I do.
Well, that's neat. I mean, good for you.
Well,
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I can't say you're right either. So I don't.
I'm not saying I'm right either. I'm just looking at it and coming to a conclusion. But it's all hypothesis. It's all theory. I'd love to find out.
I've just noticed a large amount of money flowing through, and I've heard people talk about the whole fact that it is. I've heard the money laundering idea come up before. I don't know. I just haven't spent much time thinking about it. Apparently. You have, and there was a lot of shit you just delved out there, which I'll have to look into myself.
Well, this is what I was doing since 2017, was just paying attention, not to people, but to the platform and to different platforms and to trying to understand the data better, because I've always found it to be an interesting subject to look into because of how much of our sphere relies on it and how much of our sphere is now dependent on it. And how easy it would be to manipulate. It's like, for example, and again, this is not to derail, but it's like, look at the 2016 presidential election, right? And
you had
I'm just giving a surface level thing here. The media, whether you believe them or not, were like Facebook and Twitter were what was predominantly being targeted by the Internet Research Agency. That's what they said. That's what our intelligence agency has said. That's what they say. But they always focus on Twitter and Facebook as being the key factors. Well, I'm like, why don't you guys ever talk about YouTube? 2 billion monthly active users. It's easy to...
Well, YouTube's the competition. Anything mainstream news outlets or anything like that, they don't want
regular people. And they never talked about YouTube at all in any of that. And I'm like, how easy is it to build somebody up? I know that during the 2016 presidential election, because I wasn't big on Hillary... I was moderate towards Trump. I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I gained a fuckload of subs and I made a fuckload of money, like a fuckload of money. And then when I started criticizing him because I didn't agree with his policies, then I started losing all of that. And that was...
We're going against the grain there. Not the fuck.
That's not the play. People don't want to go against the grain. Me, on the other hand, I'm a bit of a contrarian. So that kind of happens at times. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like there was so much that went into that. And it got me thinking, like, how many other people are like this? And I talked to a lot of YouTubers. And I know a lot of YouTubers that have privately said that they're deathly afraid of their audience because they are afraid to go against them because the audience dictates what they make. The audience dictates if they pay their bills. The audience dictates everything. And so if the audience...
Well, that's a shitty position for anybody to get into in the first place. But I think if you're looking at YouTube like it's going to be your fucking job, you're retarded. You can work at McDonald's and make more money than most people make off of YouTube.
Yeah, that's actually pretty true. You can make more money doing Uber Eats delivery than most people can make on fucking YouTube. You know, I'm just saying that's, I can speak to that wholeheartedly. I make really good fucking money doing it. So,
and you're not going to have to worry about some weird moment where you get called out and exposed for some shit, or you get drunk and you have a fucking episode. Go get a real job. If you need money, get a real job. There's no shame in the game. Go do it. But this fantasy that YouTube's going to be your fucking chance to finally make it, I think the more people that believe in that, they're fucked.
Well, to be fair, and this is only because YouTube was putting that out there a number of years ago, and they've never really walked back that statement. In fact, they still very much actively kind of push the idea that anyone can do this and anyone can be a millionaire. They basically, they now that you have bigger creators.
Yeah, that's how they promoted all those rich YouTubers that show off their mansions and shit.
Exactly.
That's what that's about. That's pushing the narrative that, yeah, come here, you know, engage in this thing and make us some money and you'll be rich too. That's the biggest lie I think YouTube ever pushed.
Yeah, no, they really did. They really did. And I've gone to their headquarters in LA. I've gone to their events at VidCon, and they put a lot of money in. They fucking put a lot of goddamn money in. You know, I mean, it's like fully catered and full bars and tons of gift bags and all sorts of shit. And they pump the money in to keep those people, you know, on the platform, but they all still make so much cash. And now YouTube actually, I don't know if you know this, YouTube actually has their own sponsorship company. They bought FameBit a couple years ago. And are now curating which users, which YouTubers will get sponsorships. And these come with like, you know, we're talking like 5-6 figures because of how big they are and how much of that direct connection they can make with the audience. So there's so much money at play that everyone's got their fingers in it in some way or another. And it's interesting. It's really fucking interesting.
Well, I have to look into that. Well, Matt, I think we should wrap it up, man. We've gone pretty far off course here, but I got to say it was interesting to actually get a chance to talk to you. And like I said, I've run your name through the fucking mud. I thought it'd only be fair to confront you face to face, at least have a talk with you for once. And it seems like the other people that have done that haven't. Outside of Ear Juice has been trying to get me to be buddies with you for a while. And
Ear Juice and I talk. He's a good dude. I like Ear Juice.
I've been telling Ear Juice to fuck off when it comes to that shit.
That's fine. Well, Ear Juice has talked me into working with Jarbo the Hutt. So that's going to be fascinating because I'm doing that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to be doing the actual vocals for another rendition of Better Than Me.
Oh my God.
But I am changing some of the dialogue just because I'm changing some of the dialogue, you know, that's what sucks. I'll tell you this, like there's a line in there where like, you know, people bring up that whole story of when I was 15 and in church and that girl lied about me. And I have to reiterate that because people think I was like in my 20s or some shit, which is like not true. And she fucking lied about me. So they bring that up constantly. One of the things Jarbo the Hutt used to do.
Did she lie?
Yes, 100%, dude. Fuck me. Are you kidding me? That shit fucked me up for years, dude. Like I did not want kids. I fucking was like, I don't want to be like,
I don't know, man.
No,
the story was kind of weird. You were like, dude, well, I'll tell you, she told me she wanted me to put my seed in her.
Well, I played, she didn't say, I did play that up then for that. But what happened was she legitimately was working in the school, in the church nursery. And she was a former Jehovah's Witness.
We don't need the whole
story. I'm just saying, she was like, I want a baby. I want you to give me a baby. And I'm like, fuck no.
You know? I don't know. I wasn't there.
It was a long time ago, but anyway, there's a couple lines about that that's in that song. And I'm like, I'm going to change those lines because it's like, I'm not going to sit there. I mean, but the problem though, and this is where it sucks, is the one bar where like, I guess my voice, I asked a question like, oh, did you punch her in the face or use a knife like I did?
Yeah, it's a killer line.
It's a fucking good line. I can admit that. It's a good line. It's not true, but it's a good line. And I'm like,
did you say it's not true?
It's not true. I'll call you an Uber. I'm so conflicted because it's like, well, I'll tell you this and we'll wrap it up. I don't mind the art. You know what I mean? Like if the thing with the last 2 years has been very fascinating is that people have created a lot of art. There's been two musical albums made about me, tons of memes, tons of other things like that. And I appreciate, as weird as it is to say, I appreciate the art. I appreciate the work that goes into it. Yeah, it's weird, but it's like, I've never been mad at the memes. like I literally, I, you know, called my podcast Boulder Talk Radio using the image of me as a Uniboulder because I think it's fucking brilliant. It was so fucking funny and I've always really liked it. So I appreciate the art. Even if it's extremely scathing of me, I can still find the value in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird, right?
Hooray. Anyway, Matt, it's been an interesting conversation. But like I said before, when I thought we were wrapping this up, thought it would only be fitting to give you a chance to at least say something for yourself. Like I said, I've run your name through the fucking dirt before. And I'm not afraid to fucking talk to you face to face. And I give you props for fucking not being afraid to talk to me face to face.
Well, we're both better than Ethan Ralph and Andy Worski.
All right. I still don't think we like each other, though, right?
No. Oh, God, no. No. I don't want to make this a regular thing. I'm not a fan. And you're not a fan either. And that's perfectly fucking fine. That's fucking fine.
We'll agree on that point, then. Right. We don't like each other. But I got a little bit of respect for you.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
All right,
man. Have yourself a great day.
All right. Take care, man.
See ya. All right, guys. That was an interesting experience, to say the very least. I figured it'd be fun to run a live stream on that shit. So let's take a look here at the chat. Let's take a look here at the chat here. All right. Hinjaku says, Jarbo wins again. Doug Navarone says, they immortalized you. Heartworm says, I bet Drummer doesn't even own a Disney suitcase. I completely agree. I don't think he owns a Disney suitcase. Now, I saw something that said that it wasn't a Disney suitcase, but it was like a Moana cloth bag or something, but it might have just been a joke. Okami says, you did well. Thank you. I mean, it was kind of like a last minute thing, you know. He did text me. He DM'd me on Twitter and he's all like, I don't like to wait. And I'm like, I don't care. I have to put my kids down for a nap. And he's all like, a nap? And I'm like, yeah, I have two kids I have to put down for a nap. I'll get to you in like 10 minutes. So he was trying to already run in hot, you know? So I just came in hot too. It's fine. It's fun. It's Boulder Talk Radio. Literally anything can happen. Okay. Let's see here. Drebe asks, how goes it? It goes good, dude. It goes good. It's raining as hell here in Washington today, but a bit muggy. I'm not a fan of that, but it's all good. And I'll probably wrap this thing up here in a couple minutes so I can go get some other work done today. Yeah, you love the streams that happen on the fly. I do too. I don't really want to like put much, like it sounds terrible. I don't want to put much effort into this. I'm not looking to put like exceptional amounts of effort into this. I just like talking. I like chatting. I think it's fun. And that's what I want it to be. I don't need to have a structured format. I don't need to have a structured like co-host. I don't need to have structured anything because I feel if I do that, then it's like taking it too seriously. And if I start taking it seriously, then I start trying to find ways to expand it and try to find ways to make it bigger and better. And that ends up kind of, I think, ruining my enjoyment of it. So I'm just keeping it very, very, very simple. Greek says, bring back Poli. No. No, not at all. Poli is buried next to Mundane Matt. They're dead. They're gone. They're out there. OV Warrior says these streams have been pretty good so far. Yeah, I've been enjoying them. And a lot of it's so funny how many people I've seen that are like, man, fucking this stream, dude. Like, you know, why do I like? Oh, I'm liking you. Fuck, I hate that shit. And I just like, well, thank you, I guess. It's all good. But no, Greek, Poli is not coming back. I don't even know where to get a polar bear. And no, that shit, that's bad. That is exceptionally terrible stuff right there. Let's see. I'm kind of, all right. Any final questions before I wrap this thing up? Curious to know what you guys have to say about this. Drewby says, I'd love to chat with you again at MythCon. That was enlightening. Who are you at MythCon? Who are you there? Yeah, well, I don't think I'll go back to MythCon. They don't like me anymore because I'll tell you this. So when I was at Kilroy, I overheard Roaming Millennial and Brian from MythCon discussing race realism and not in the negative. And that really kind of soured me on them. And then, Brian runs the MythCon Twitter and he's turned it into like a right-wing hug box. It's just a right-wing hug box. And the other two guys, Dimitri and Sean, who are good guys. I really like them. They kind of let him do it. And I don't know if they let him run it like that because he's like in charge. I don't know their dynamic, but they, you know, it's like, I think it just kind of gives MythCon a bad name. And then now they're doing what they did, better discourse, which no one talked about. I forgot that it even happened last weekend. I didn't even, I, you know, and there were people there that if I would have gone, I would have liked to have met. I would have liked to have met Milo Yiannopoulos. I think that would have been an interesting experience. I would have liked to have met Destiny. I've talked to him one time before, but a lot of people didn't really go. And it just, I don't know how it turned out because no one was talking about it, you know, in 2017, you know, Sargon versus whoever the fuck that guy was, that blew up on the internet. 2018, Sargon versus that other guy, where Sargon was a complete dick and he owned up to the fact that he was a dick. But then there was a bomb scare, and then they did, was it better discourse? Was that the one they did last year where they had to do it at a casino? I forget what it was called, but like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It just doesn't matter. Like it's a friend of mine called it CPAC for YouTube, or YouTuber CPAC. And I completely agree. So, you know, but like, I mean, it's funny because I know Hunter Avalon was there and I would have liked to have seen Hunter again. Hunter's a good dude. I don't agree with him politically, but he's kind of like become more of a lefty, which is really, really funny that he's become more of a lefty and he's calling out the alt-right. So it's just one of those things like, well, all right, sir, let's see where this season takes us. Let's see here. Plus, Skeptic did Vadim dirty. Yes. Yes, he did. Greg. Yes, he did. Herb Green says Poldy won. Oh my God. Bloody Deagle. Sorry. What's MythCon? Is it something for those who LARP as wizards? No, it's a 1 day panel discussion conference on different topics. Generally around the idea of like atheism was the first idea of it. And then they realized that they could get YouTubers to show up. So they basically made it about the culture war and started inviting like all these like top, you know, like right wing, left wing YouTubers, mostly right wingers, because right winger audiences tend to show the hell up. And they got the left leaners to show up, who would then also be used as bait for more of the right wing audience. It's not, but the thing is, like, when I went to MythCon, the crowd was very nice. Like, the people there were very nice, very friendly. That, you know, people were giving me shit over the whole flagging thing, but everyone was very nice at the end of the day, and I had a good experience. And I felt Milwaukee was a beautiful city, and I had so much fun in Milwaukee, and I'd love to go back. So, you know, it wasn't bad. It's just that the people behind the convention are kind of like, well, one guy in particular is kind of a dick, and he ruined it, I think, for a lot of people. They have the opportunity to actually have conversations, but they want to stack it with people who are going to sell tickets. And I know that's the whole point, but it feels ultimately like disingenuous based upon the original what they were originally trying to do. All right. Let's see here. Thunderfoot. Thunderfoot was in my neck of the woods a couple of years ago, and like I was so close to being able to meet him. I really wanted to. That would have been great. Let's see here. What happens to the alt-right if Trump loses? Do they get more entertaining? They're going to cry. They're going to cry quite a bit. If Trump loses, you're going to get a lot of very salty individuals on Twitter. And I think a lot of people are going to be like losing all sorts of relevance. Remember kind of like how there was a lot of like left leaning people that were pretty big that kind of got overtaken by the right wingers in 2016, because you had like that rise of the right wing populism and those commentators. And then they're hoping for another 4 years, so their jobs are secure. But if they lose, then with that goes their relevance, because not everyone's going to be able to be Rush Limbaugh, and not everyone's going to be able to maintain an audience like that, a conservative based audience, for that long. People are eventually going to, you know, they're going to move on. And that's kind of the trials and tribulations of being an online commentator, where you might find yourself with a particular audience today, but things could change and you won't have that audience tomorrow. And you're still reliant on the algorithm. You're reliant on a number of other aspects. Whereas talk radio is generally on 5 days a week at the same time. You build a habit with your audience. You build a habit with those people, and they know where to go and they know where to get it. And you end up through that being able to establish a very dedicated audience. YouTubers don't really have that, to be honest with you. Not anymore. They used to, but now it's gotten pretty terrible. Let's see. Miraculous Matt by Phantom's Gut. Thank you. Okay. Was Andrew Engel in there? No, he wasn't there. I don't think, no, he's not in the country, right? He owes like a lot of money to some lady that won a harassment lawsuit, right? Andrew Engel. Yeah. Yeah. I remember he wrote an article about Ralph, and then, people were like sending around the link, and I'm like, I'm not going to click on that. I don't want my IP address getting into that database. And I don't want the FBI looking at my IP address. Not that I do anything bad, but just like, you know what? No, I'm good. And then someone's like, here's a PNG image of the whole thing. I'm like, okay, I can read that. That's fine. Let's see here. Indigo says, actually, I think the right wing audience will thrive under the left. The alt-right lost a lot of relevance after the election. Well, here's the thing with that, though, Indigo. I think the right wing in and of itself, and I noticed this last night with what I heard from Biden's speech. I haven't heard the whole thing yet. But the fact that Biden's speech last night got like uproarious applause from like a Fox News panel of people showed me specifically that the intent of that speech was very much to placate to the middle and center right, not to obviously Trump supporters, but to the middle and to the center right. And the reason why, when he starts talking about patriotism and prayer and all these things, these are things that a lot of the right wingers tend to focus on as talking points. And he talked about it in a way that spoke to them. And that is what's going to change the mind in the election. Trump has tried to turn Biden into a caricature. Oh, Sleepy Joe, all of this shit, everything about that. Biden came out last night and he fucking nailed it. He knocked it out of the park based upon what I've seen, based upon the responses of what I've seen. And that's going to end up changing the mind of a lot of people. Now, Kamala is going to be the hurdle, and we're going to have to wait and see what happens with that. But anyway, I don't want to spend all night on politics. Or all day on politics. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up because we've been on now for about an hour and I still have to do a bunch of other work. So I appreciate the conversation with Drummer. It got a little feisty in the beginning. Clearly he and I are not fans of one another, and that's perfectly fine. But conversation still happened and it left amicable at the end, which look, that's all we can really say about one another, right? We can only really push for the amicable and hope for the best. So, plus, you know, common enemies make for strange bedfellows, right? It's one of those weird situations. That being said, guys, I don't know if I'll be back on tonight. It's Friday. I might. It depends. I might want to sit and play video games. I haven't done that all week. And I'll talk to you guys all later. Thank you again for watching. Have yourself a fantastic day. And peace out.